Hello and welcome to the hearing. I'm John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's little experiment. We were talking about this during the hearing. We reviewed Rain of Fire. And there is a scene that uses Jimi Hendrix's song Fire in an offensively on-the-nose way. So I made a joke about the Dennis DeYoung cover in my sponsor. And Scott has never heard the Dennis DeYoung version. So
no.
We're going to have him listen to it live on the show. We decided to do this on the hearing because it's the music show. If you've never heard the Dennis DeYoung version of Fire and you would like to take part in this to have an understanding of what Scott is ranting about, it's on Spotify. You can probably find it on YouTube as well. Cue it up now. We'll wait.
Okay, so this is from 1983, huh? Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to hit play. Well,
pause. I want to make sure everybody's all lined up. On
okay.
Three, hit play.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Okay, so there's... He turned it into a blues song, huh?
Kind of, but an incredibly Dennis DeYoung blues song.
Yeah. Oh, is it just an instrumental?
No. There's a long break in the beginning, but yeah, wait till the vocal comes in.
Oh, here he is. Oh, jeez. Fuck. Oh my god. Why would he do this? I mean, the way he's delivering the vocals that had so much soul in them originally. It's
the musical theater version.
Right. Exactly. I mean, he is High School the Musical before High School the Musical happened.
Bear in mind, I haven't heard this version of the song in probably 30 years, and it's still burned into my brain.
And who's playing the guitar with him anyway? Because he's not a guitar player. I just don't understand why he would do this.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're a guitar player yourself and it's your solo album.
No, he's a keyboard player.
Right.
He probably plays a little guitar, but he's certainly not playing lead on it. Moving
okay,
on?
Okay, I got to tap out.
Yeah, moving on. Like I said,
let me stand.
Worse than you thought it would be.
The amazing thing is you can just hear the stiffness mm-hmm. in his vocal delivery. Yeah. Just the absolute opposite of Jimi Hendrix. Just move over, Rover. Let Jimmy take over to let me stand.
He wrote Mr. Roboto for a reason.
I mean, you can just hear the tension in his like neck muscles mm-hmm. while he's belting this out, and it's just a heinous.
On to something far better. This week's album from 1999, Happy Bivouac by The Pillows. The Pillows are a Japanese alternative rock band best known for providing almost all of the music for the 2002 anime OVA series Fooly Cooly. The only music in the series that isn't from The Pillows is Comedian's Gallop, an orchestral piece composed by Dmitry Kabalevsky from his 1938 suite The Comedians. The Pillows were formed in 89 by bassist Kenji Ueda and drummer Shinichiro Sato, who had both left the band Kenzie and the Trips. The pair invited Coin Locker Babies vocalist Sawao Yamanaka to join the band, but since Yamanaka was not able to play guitar well just yet, they also asked Yoshiaki Manabe from the hair metal band Persia to join them. Ueda left the band after their second album, 1992's White Incarnation, over musical differences, and they've never officially replaced him.
Huh.
All three bassists who have played with them since then, Tatsuya Kashima, who played with them for 6 years, Jun Suzuki, who played with them for 16 years and plays on this album, and their current bassist, Yoshimura Are, who's been with them since 2015, have been credited as guest musicians.
Oh, that's weird.
Dude leaves the band over musical differences, still with us today, as far as I know. They never replace him. It is the most Japanese thing I've ever heard of. Happy Bivouac, officially titled Happy Bivouac on the Hillary Step, which is was a rock face on near the top of Mount Everest that has since been destroyed by an earthquake, is the band's eighth album. Eighth? I need to recheck my math on that one moment. I think it's their sixth, actually. Oh, it's their eighth. I forgot a couple. It's their eighth album. Marks the debut of bassist Jun Suzuki, and it's one of the three Pillows albums from which almost all the music in Fooly Cooly was taken, along with the two previous albums, Little Busters and Runner's High. In fact, there are only three Pillows songs on the album, in the anime, that aren't from one of those three albums. Stalker, which is from Please Mr. Lostman, the album before Little Busters. Ride on Shooting Star, and I Think I Can, both of those were written for Fooly Cooly. Side note, Stalker from Please Mr. Lostman, one of the heaviest songs they ever did, was on a pop album. Lostman, aside from that song, is basically a pop album. Happy Bivouac was released on December 2nd, 1999, on King Records, produced by Zin Yoshida, and features Sawai Yamanaka on guitar and vocals, Yoshiaki Manabe on guitar, Shinichiro Sato on drums, with guest musician Jun Suzuki on bass. From this point forward, I will be referring to Sato and Manabe by their nicknames, Shin-chan for Shinichiro Sato, and P-chan for Manabe. Chan is a Japanese honorific used for either small children or close friends. And P-chan, he was nicknamed because friends thought he looked like Snoopy.
Alrighty.
reminder, I don't edit any songs into our episodes for copyright reasons, but down in the description, if you're listening to this on YouTube or on our blog at johnscotto.com, you'll find a link to Happy Bivouac on YouTube. It is not on Spotify. I found out a couple of days ago that there are some Pillows albums on Spotify. This just isn't one of them.
Right. This was kind of hard to get the three listens into because it wasn't streamed.
And we also find a translation of the lyrics so you can follow along with us and also along with what's being said on the album. On to track one, Happy Bivouac. I have to say, this album is another one of my Desert Island discs. By the way, Bivouac is a temporary camp without tents or cover used especially by soldiers and mountaineers. I did not know when I first heard the song. I had to look that up. This is one of my favorites. I love the riff and the interplay between the guitars, between the verses, even during the verse. Very nicely composed. There's great kind of occasional Leslie guitar over on the left. I think it's so wow. Leslie is a rotating speaker.
It's this real serious arena rock, you know? I mean, you can see a lot of the 90s influences they have, like Presidents of the United States of America, Everclear, The Pumpkins, of course, and Cheap Trick. Well, Corgan was influenced by Cheap Trick, too, so.
Cheap Trick have often been referred to as the American Beatles. I kind of see the Pillows as the Japanese Beatles.
It's kind of funny because Cheap Trick, this is kind of like them returning the favor, because Cheap Trick, that whole that live album that they did back in the 70s that sounds like they had this crazy, insane audience.
Right.
They were nobodies, but they went to Japan to play.
Budokan, yeah.
Right. And so it was, and he's speaking in this slow, like, English so the audience can understand what he's saying. You know, that's why the intro is, I want you to want me. You know? And they just went nuts over him, and they broke because of that.
Right.
You know, that album, people heard it and were like, wow, these guys kick ass live. Listen to that crowd. And yeah, it was just, so this is like them putting it back, you know, to us.
And at this point, the Pillows were just starting to break. Fooly Cooly is really what gave them the big push.
Which is weird, because I never thought the music really went with the cartoon, with the story, you know? It was
No, it doesn't. It was all pulled from albums, aside from two songs that were written for it. And I saw a short interview with the Pillows recently talking about that. they were saying that, you know, they would have, they actually, in hindsight, they were like, they were a little rude to the creators of the anime because they didn't really see their music in a show or in commercials or anything. To them,
well,
it
right.
was just, you know, write an album, record it, tour.
Like, even mood-wise, the music doesn't really fit with that. But then again, there were that was, I always thought that was very disjointed.
That's kind of the whole point
really
of Fooly
cool.
Gooly.
Yeah.
But back to Heavy Bivouac. Love the solo. It's very Beatles. Great vocal harmonies. I love the inflection on "Yes, Happy Bivouac." The lyrics are kind of analogizing life to a mountain. And in the end, he's the last line before that, "Yes, Happy Bivouac," is how there is no summit. You know, there is no goal in life.
I mean,
just
my
enjoy
only
the climb.
Distraction from him is his voice. Actually, like it's very. It has a very weird Al tone to it. You know, that very high voice.
His voice kind of changes throughout the album on different songs.
That's
especially
true.
In the last one. On to track two, Rush, not about the band. and that's something I need to point out on this album. Love
Although
the sound.
There is a song later that is
that's
very
why I say
Russian
I need to point
flutes,
it out.
But not this one.
Love the sound of the opening drum break, loaded with reverb. Shin is very Ringo influenced.
I mean, this is a very grunge song more than anything else. It's a bit late for the grunge boat, but I think they did enough sonically to make it worth it.
Yeah, it's great wall sound, which is normally not my thing, but I think it works here. The entire vocal is harmonized, which just makes it feel huge. Love the aggressive distortion on the right when in the chorus and the turnaround. And the feedback, and there's these feedback beeps right before the solo. Just a big, loud, chaotic rock song to fit the lyrics, which are really just kind of about experiencing life.
And so, I mean, I hear this, and I kind of get pissed because I think of what was popular in the late 90s, early 2000s, and just, I mean, it's what led to, like, Limp Bizkit and then, like, Nickelback and all that. And here we have this that didn't sell anything here, really.
Well, because it's from Japan and mostly in Japanese, so it's not going to sell anything here.
Yeah, but, you know.
Music in other languages does not sell here.
You get those every now and again that something goes over well.
I mean, Baby Metal was big for about 10 minutes as a novelty, but that's about it.
Baby Metal?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that now.
They were
okay.
Big for about 10 minutes as a novelty over here.
I had to think of that. Oh, yeah, that's right. The dude in the diaper, yeah.
No, that was Lady Metal. Oh, what is it? Lady Bird.
Lady Bird?
Lady Bird. It was another Kawaii Metal band, the guy. Baby Metal was the three girls.
Oh, okay.
They played a bunch of talk shows over here, toured a bunch of places. They were begging for about 10 minutes out of novelty. On to track three, Last Dinosaur. Love the giant low-tuned snare that just takes your head off. It's about a monster, a dinosaur or kind of a Godzilla monster, used really just as an analogy for loneliness and despair. Love the rage in the vocal. Some really nice acoustics in the background. Really low in the mix. They just kind of add texture. More great distortion. A very aggressive distortion in the chorus. Love the interplay between the bass and the drums and the turnaround. And the reverb on the vocal in the chorus just makes it huge. And it ends with these ooh ooh oohs, which kind of don't fit, but they do.
And I thought they were going for a Dinosaur Jr. Reference with the title, because that's really what this one reminded me of. It's like Dinosaur Jr., only the lyrics are easier to understand than Dinosaur Jr., because who the fuck can ever understand what that guy's saying?
Oh, yeah.
But no, this is a good rocker, you know? Just straight-out rocker.
Mm-hmm. Track four, Carnival. This one is about looking down at the world, literally from a Ferris wheel, sneering and just waiting for, fantasizing about that one person who will get you and give you hope in the future. Very relatable adolescent fantasy.
I did not go for the translation of the lyrics. I was just going, uh-huh, of course, for whatever they could. This kind of one, they
sounds
kind
like
of
your
lost
mic fell
me
down.
Oh, Yeah, I think I accidentally brushed up. I was gesturing, I think, while talking, and that was that. I apologize. But this one is kind of where they started losing me a little bit here, because it was, well, first I was hoping for a Mr. Bungle cover, but no. Then I realized the intro is, Nirvana's, I Think I'm Dumb, but that's very brief. They go into a different song after that, and I think that's the problem with it. It kind of feels like they're cobbling pieces together, which I get that's how you can write songs, but the
It's
way they're
actually,
doing it here.
this is my favorite on the album because of that. It goes through all of these transitions in these different sections. I love how it builds like that. The opening riff has some great. I love the opening riff and the vocal harmonies, and just how busy it gets when all the other instruments come in. And then it is about four different songs in one.
I just don't think they, I mean, they don't really flow together though. It's just kind of like, okay, we had this piece here, and then I mean, it doesn't take long to figure out that's what they did. I like the har and I like the harmonies in every other song, but they didn't really work for me in this one. It just too much tacked together.
I like the kind of winding riff that P-Chan's playing in the verse, and then it just explodes when it gets to the chorus. Another great, some great feedback squeals, this ragged solo, and then another
It's
much more composed solo.
funny that this, I think, is before Interpol, and I think they took a lot of their sound from this.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I love P-Chan's playing. It's just so tasteful and melodic and just doesn't play a lot of notes, just the right ones. And he experiments a lot. Onto track five, Our Love and Peace. This is just kind of about wishing for and hoping for love and peace as the 20th century ends. Bear in mind 99.
This one's a lot like Rush's Tears.
It's the one band a lot of bands you're talking about, I can see the analogy. Rush is not someone I would have ever connected to the Pillows.
Well, like, I mean, Tears, I think, is a very atypical Rush
Yeah,
song,
fair.
honestly. But I think this one just is very similar to it.
Love the off-kilter groove. There's some great wah guitar going on the left. And I know that's kind of a cliche these days because all the metal players use a wah when they solo.
Right.
But P-Chan's doing some really interesting stuff over the vocal with this one. And I love how long Sawao holds the C in peace. Chorus comes in, and it's big without any distortion, which is a hard trick to pull off because it's easy to just step on a distortion pedal and get big.
Yeah.
They go in big without distortion. And the Ringo influence on Shin-Chan comes out really well on this one. There is kind of an odd lyric, though. At one point, it says, "It's what the setting star, it's what the setting star judges over. A word, love and peace, P-I-E-C-E." The only line that doesn't really fit into the lyric, but I love the interplay between the three guitars and the solo. You've got the riff on the right side, the kind of wah accents continuing, and then this short, sparse, wah-heavy solo. I love how they work guitars together and compose them. On to
Hey,
track six.
I think Corgan, it's funny. I think they took Pumpkin's sound, and then I think Corgan kind of took this sound and came back with Swan like a couple years later when he was looking to do something different.
It's possible. I mean, this is around the period where they got most, their biggest push, so
Yeah.
it's certainly possible that they would have been heard. On to track six, Crazy Sunshine. Typical adolescent, adults don't understand, and someday we'll be free to live like I want it, like we want to. This is the weakest, even though it's from Fooly Cooly. I think I'm just too familiar with it. It's the one that's most associated with the show. Do like the groove.
I'm on the fence. I mean, I think it's. I really like the chorus. The verses don't really grab me, but the chorus and the harmonies, I mean, has such a great Bad Religion feel to it. But of course, it's telling though. I mean, I've seen some of Fooly Cooly and don't really remember a whole lot
Well,
of
this is
what
at the
the
la in
music
the
wrote.
toward the end, toward the climax, that
Oh,
this one comes in.
okay.
And it's in a lot of advertisements. They go to this song because it's I guess it's the most grabbing. I do like how it softens in the pre-chorus just before the verse comes in huge. Nice chaotic solo, really dripping with reverb. It's a song that it's hard for me to hear without hearing clips from the show.
Oh.
And so it's that ingrained in my head, so I'm just kind of tired of it.
But yeah, this is something that Bad Religion should cover.
On to track 7, Backseat Dog, about an unrequited crush. I loved the line, supporting actors love. It's basically affection from someone you barely know exists.
It's nice to hear the bass, you know, take prominence in this. You know, Everything else was just kind of, you know, that grunge kind of feel or arena feel, but just to have a song that's going off bass like this.
Right. I also like the lyric that the title was based on. Of course, again, I'm pulling from a translation. I could easily erase myself away, but I'm still tied up in your garden just like a howling dog. great off-kilter riff. It is very Pixies.
Right. It's funny. I write my notes. Wow, there's a little Pixies going on here. And then the end kicks in where they actually start singing Here Comes Your Man.
At very end of the fade out. So Wow sings Here Comes Your Man over the riff, because it's kind of like, well, you're all thinking it, so.
It was a very nice touch, I thought, because I was like, yeah, I mean, come on, man, you're just fucking, yeah, okay.
I actually AB'd the riffs, they're actually not that similar.
Really?
Rhythmically they are, melodically they're not. Obviously,
he's singing Here Comes Your Man, just with different lyrics, you know?
But, I mean, it's clearly an influence, you know, which is why he broke into it at the end, but he didn't, like, rip it off. I also love how P-Chan accents during the verses. He's a true lead player, because he doesn't just, like, wait until his solos. He actually plays, you know, leads and accents during the verses and, you know, does something interesting. Love how melodic Jun gets on this. And So Wow actually plays the solo. He usually plays rhythm. But he does play the solo in this one. I watched a live version of it this morning, and he played the solo there. I compared it to the studio, and it does sound like him. I have to admit, I was dancing a bit to this one.
I was set to pick this for strongest, and then I was actually surprised that they beat it, you know, later on.
On to track 8, speaking of the Pixies, Kim Deal.
It made sense to go from here to there.
Of course. Apparently, Sawao had a bit of a thing for Kim Deal back in the day. Frankly, who among us
and
didn't?
Why not? Right.
Love the kind of hum we get on the left. I think it's coming from one of the distortion pedals, but it just kind of adds this little extra noise to it. I love. And the kind of high chords on the right. Nice snappy snare. Kind of sounds almost electric or electronic. Some great kind of ghostly harmonies on the chorus on the "Please Sing For Me" part. And on the leads at the end of the chorus, love the solo after the first chorus. It's like a chord solo, and how the groove kind of picks up a little bit. And the actual solo is kind of low, which is unusual. You know, you didn't go for the high end on it.
Right. I think they kind of play middle of the road here. You know, I was expecting more of a Pixies or Breeder sound. But I guess that wouldn't have been much of a tribute.
No.
That reminds me more of like Foo Fighters or something like that.
Were the Breeders around at this point? Had they started yet in 99?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cannonball, that was like 94, wasn't it?
Wasn't it? Okay, so the Pixies were way earlier than that. Yeah, because they were more late 80s.
Oh, right. Right, yeah. Pixies were pretty much very little known in their own time. Yeah. It wasn't until later
they were late 80s, because I vaguely remember, I think the first time I ever heard a full Pixies song was in high school on the PA, you know, when like during the morning address or something, somebody played Monkey Down to Heaven.
Huh. Yeah, I listened to 106.3, which back when it was an alternative station at the Jersey Shore, at least. Right. And they play up every now and again. And I watched 120 minutes on MTV.
On to track 9, Funny Bunny, another favorite of mine. Just Sawao looking back on a past relationship that apparently her father didn't approve of, and just wondering what happened to her. The line that gives me the father part is, defying the voice of the king, you were laughing the night you were found out. on top of a hill outstretched by an aurora. Arms outstretched, you invited me. Tail touched by an aurora. It's just nice, melodic, obviously a love song. You don't even need the lyrics to know that.
Yeah.
Love the drum break in the beginning. This is one that June really carries. The bass, the riff is entirely in the bass.
Yeah, this is, this reminds me a lot of like Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness, you know, era Pumpkins.
And the ending, the lyric at the ending is, gets kind of sad. Even if I can't fly, I'm okay. The ground goes on anyway. So they parted company because she wanted to, you know, pursue her dreams, and he's just looking back and saying, "Well, it's okay."
Yeah,
love the nice, sparse, tasteful solo. Although the disc does get a little ragged, which is a nice touch and is pretty valid. On to track 10, Beautiful Morning With You. Overdramatic love song is overdramatic. That's all I have to say about the lyric.
You know, at first, my copy only had it as Beautiful Morning. So I'm like, is this a cover of The Rascals?
Nice, nice.
And you know what? The two actually work well together, Beautiful Morning and Beautiful Morning With You.
Sure thing.
This is more of a hyped up version of that, of course, because Beautiful Morning is just, you know, a very relaxing song.
Right. And but in this case, the music matches the drama of the lyrics. It's just this dirge-like, slow, plodding song in the verses. And P-Chan does some really fascinating effects. This is basically just P-Chan playing with his effects rack over this dirge-like song. At least, again, in the verses. And the beginning, it takes a while for the lyrics to come in. So it just kinda, it's this boom, boom, that just, the tension just builds beautifully until the lyric comes in.
I mean, it's definitely of its era, you know. You could, this is definitely like a late 90s, you know, rock song.
Yeah, yeah.
The harmonies, though, are definitely some of their best. Yeah. And this is fast growing into one of my favorites. And this one, I think, more than anything, should have been a hit back in the day, even though it's not in English entirely.
And I love how the pre-chorus just explodes and the chorus just heightens that. And how simple and present the bass is. He's just playing one note, hitting it twice in the verse, but it's loud as hell. And you know, his parts leading up to, P-Chan's parts leading up to verse two, he does some effects work that is, I think it's just a simple pick slide, but the effect he has on it just makes it spine chilling. Great solos too. Not many notes, but just really nice and celebratory.
Yeah.
There is an odd lyric though. I think it's the second half of the first verse. I won't force you to touch me. We're so madly in love that even if you should hurt me, it's all right. I will take all the pain.
What's odd about that lyric, actually?
Overdramatic love song is overdramatic. I won't force you to touch me. Part like in 2020 for through 2020 eyes, that line's a little rapey. But it, like in 99, you know,
no, he's saying he won't force you.
Yeah, still feels a little rapey. on to track 11, which I'm guessing is your favorite.
Yes.
Advice. This is just a teenager being told off by authority figures. And it's the only song in that's completely in English. They do usually one song entirely in English per album. Go ahead.
It's not even the lyrics that sucked me in. It's just, I mean, them going for their buzzcocks, you know.
Loud, fun punk song.
Yeah, I wish they had done more of this throughout the album, honestly.
And I love how the drums follow the riff at first, and all of the characters he pulls out in the vocal. The vocal is all over the place, you know, gymnastic almost at points. Because he's playing all of these different characters that were kind of telling off the kid. Great reverb on some of the vocal lines as well. And the solo is just so wow, using a sound effect on like one chord, just kind of grating over the band. And I love the thank you at the end.
Yes. Hope we pass the audition.
So this is usually a foregone conclusion when we get to this point, but I honestly don't know where you're going this time. Do you recommend it?
This one went all over the place.
Yeah.
That's why. I mean, this started out strong. I think there were some valleys along the way, but I think there's strong songs here that I'd recommend it.
And I strenuously recommend it. I mean, admittedly, it's one of the Fooly Cooly songs, so I'm not super objective if you're not familiar with the other our other show. Fooly Cooly is pretty much my favorite thing in the world. So, you know, the band that did the music for it, I absolutely adore. And I think this is probably my favorite album of theirs. It took them a few albums to really find their sound. With Kenji Ueda, they were jangle pop. Typical, very 60s influenced early 90s band. He left. They did a couple of jazz albums.
That's cool.
Very jazz influenced, like very loungy.
And jangle pop can really work too if it's done well. So, you know.
Yeah. And then they did Lost Man, which is kind of leaning into alternative but very poppy, except for Stalker. And then they get to the Fooly Cooly albums, and they kind of subtly refine their sound to this. And it's really the sound they still have today, you know, 20 years later. I strenuously recommend it. That's it for Happy Bivouac. Until next time, we'll be revealing Spring Session M by Missing Persons.
Oh, wow.
Always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are. Thank you.